Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. How are we today? All right, I'll take it, man. I'll take it. Hey, listen, it's the first Sunday of 2024, and I'm excited to be here. We can talk on the pastor here. We're excited to have you with us today. We're kicking off a new series. If you are here for the very first time, we've got a free gift we'd love to give you. I'd love to say hi to you. If you're a first time, if you've been a long time, whatever. I'd love to say hi to you right after church. I'll be at the welcome area and several of us will be. Hey, listen, we got a lot of great things coming up in 2024. Students starts back tonight at 6. Equip kicks off again later in the month of the 28th. All kinds of things going on. The best way to stay up to date in the know with what's going on in and around Summit is like us on Facebook, on social media, and download the app. We've already got all kinds of things in the app, especially in the calendar. BBS is already in there. The headphone things for Christmas. Almost the whole year. Things, all kinds of stuff's in there. So download the app if you can. Follow us on social media. All kinds of things. That's it. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pray for us. But before I pray, one of the things that I want to try to teach us to do as a church this year, kind of lean into, I just really feel like maybe the Lord would want us to lean into something at certain points in our services, is I want our church to lean into times of confession. I know that that might be a new word for us. That might be a dirty word based on your church background and that sort of thing. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that if we confess our sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins. And man, this week might have just been a blur for you. And here you are coming out of the holidays, and people are like, you know, just having conversations with people. These past 2 weeks are still crazy. And you just haven't had a chance, really, to offer your heart up to God, surrender your heart up to God, talk to him about some things. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer this morning. I just want you to listen. I'm going to give us moments just real quick, just about a minute or so, where we're just going to engage. And let's just offer our hearts up to God and ask him to move in us, to cleanse us, and to speak to us today. So would you just pray with me today? Our Father in heaven, we come to you, and God, we give you glory today. God, we give you glory that this is the day that you have made. And God, we will make the choice right now to rejoice in this day, not just in this day, but God, in this specific moment. God, when we can all come together as a church at the beginning of the year with so much momentum and excitement, and God, offer ourselves up to you. And God, that's exactly what we want to do, not just today, but this year. God, we want to offer our hearts to you today. And so, Father, I pray right now that God, if we come to you today with divided hearts, that you would forgive us. God, if we come to you today with distracted hearts, you would forgive us. God, if we come to you today with just bitter hearts, God, you would forgive us. Jesus, that you would cleanse us today of all of our sins. And Father, we receive your forgiveness today. You can say that to God right there. Father, we just pray that you would cleanse us of anything that's in the way of you this morning. And God, we receive the forgiveness right now that's available to us. God, we receive right now the forgiveness that's available in Jesus, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that this is not just a sermon, but God, that you would open our hearts up. Speak to us. Now, don't let us settle for church as usual this year. Help us become engaged, ready to meet with you. Because, God, you came ready to meet with us. And so, God, we love you. We choose right now to say thanks for everything that you have for us today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, I love the momentum of a new year. I just love going into a brand new year, and there's so much excitement around it, and people have resolutions and goals and a lot of great things that they're looking to do. You know, maybe this year is the year that you're going to get in shape. Maybe this is the year that you're going to get out of debt. This is the year that you're going to start to travel. This is the year that you're going to try to slow down and be present. I don't know what your goals were, your resolutions were for 2024. Here's what I know. The research says by February 1st, 80% of people who make resolutions quit. That's what I know. So I know that some of you have 3 weeks left. That's what I know. Right? And a lot of people don't even have 3 weeks left. A lot of people will quit by the middle of January. And we quit for all kinds of reasons, right? You go to the gym and you're taking selfies in the mirror, and you're not seeing the results. You know, you don't have the six-pack abs in like 3 weeks. Come on, right? And so you quit because the results are coming too slow. You quit trying to get your way out of debt, man, because you knew the debt was a lot. You didn't realize trying to get out of it and just went to work and you just throw in the towel. All kinds of reasons that people give up on resolutions and goals for the year, but one of the reasons that they usually walk away is people just give up. I think about myself when I was putting this together. I think about me. I think about all the things that I started with, all kinds of momentum, all kinds of passion and excitement. And 5 minutes later, you know, and I just give up so many times. Here's a question for you. Have you ever given up on anything? Have you ever given up on anything at all? Well, today we're kicking off a brand new series called The Depths. And what we're doing in this series is not about resolutions. This series is not about willpower and sticking with your goals. This series is about your heart. And the reason that we're doing this series is because from where I sit in the stands, looking at the world, looking at life, thinking about conversations that I have, a lot of conversations with you and then people that I meet throughout the week, one of the reasons we're doing this series is because I see a lot of people giving up on things that really matter. Well, right now, we said this before, right now, right in the room, you are living in the middle of the largest amount of people that have ever walked away from Christianity in America since attendance has been recorded. People call it the Great Deep Church. I've had all kinds of conversations with young people, and I hear people talk about deconstructing their faith. I've had all kinds of conversations, not just in the past year, but honestly in the past couple of years, where people have just been through such a hard time, and so many things have happened to them, that they just give up trusting God. They give up hoping in God. And I just see a lot of people giving up on things that matter. I see a lot of people that are regulars here. So I think a lot of you are kind of used to hearing me speak about things. I'm not a big word of the last days guy. You know what I'm saying? Word of the last days. I'm not a big word of the last days guy. But I do think about this verse a lot. I think it's going to be over soon. Matthew 24, verse 12. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus, talking about the last days, says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of men will grow. So, Mark, what's that mean? Here's what that means. I have no idea. I'm being honest. If what's happening to Israel has anything at all to do with it, I have absolutely no idea about, you know, signs and all kinds of things. But when I think about the world that we live in today, and this verse, I do think something is happening. Just the amount of people who give up is all Jesus said. Jesus said, one of the ways you will know you are getting closer and closer to his return is you will see more and more people just giving up. Jesus talks this way all the time. Jesus goes on and he says this. This will be our main verse of the morning, by the way. Luke 21, 36. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, brokenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And so this series is about our hearts, and the reason we're doing it is because I see a lot of people giving up. Mark, what's the connection between giving up and our hearts? Here's the connection. Giving up starts in the heart. And this is all over the heart. Let me just show you a couple of verses here really quickly. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. This will be on the screen. See to it, brothers and sisters. Look at this. That none of you has a simple, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. What's that verse that just leads you to? Here's this one from 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. I love this phrase. Therefore, we do not lose. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We do not lose heart. Therefore, it must be possible. Must be possible to lose your heart. Here's the deal. If you take notes, you can write this down. The biggest danger in 2024 is that you lose your heart. What is The heaven summit, you know, we talk about this quite a bit, but let's not assume we're all on the same page. When we talk about the heart, we mean the center of who we are. That the center of who we are, it's our love, it's our passion, it's our heart and soul. They're combined, they're intertwined, they're connected. And here's the deal. All of us, teenagers, moms, dads, grandparents, no matter how old or young, Christian or not, all of us live from the heart. And more than a resolution, this year, we need strength to stay. You know what Jesus says here in this again, Luke 21, 36, pray that you may be able to stand. That's it. That's it. Goal of the series is that you and I will build resilient faith and not lose heart. Goal of the series isn't that you would still be in this church in 2024. That's not the goal. The goal of the series is that you would be standing at the end. And I'm not talking about physically standing like I am on stage. I'm talking about in your heart, the center of who you are. Now, you're still believing. You're going to take some hits. It's going to be ups and downs, but you are standing in the end. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to give us three realities for the new year that are going to kind of set the stage for where we're going in the rest of the series. Three realities for the new year. Here it is. Number one, the first reality is life is hard. It is, man. Life is hard. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to pretty it up. I'm not going to try to make things better than they really are. I'm just going to be honest with you. This year, 2024, is going to have some beautiful things for a lot of us. Man, it's going to have some highs. It's going to have some amazing moments. But also, 2024 is going to have some real lows. And that's not me being negative. That's not me being, like, pessimistic. We live in a broken world. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. We live in a broken world, and there's brokenness in the year to come. And notice what Jesus says back in our verse in Luke 21. I think it's going to be on the screen here. Look at what Jesus says. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness. Look at this phrase. And the anxieties of life. Who is up there? Make kind of highlight it there for you. What it is that your heart can get weighed down. I went to a Google and I Googled weighed down. And just want to see what kind of pictures I get. Let y'all a couple of them. Go to the next slide, Parker, if you can. Here's two of them right here. This is weighed down. One guy's got the world on his back. That's what it feels like to be weighed down. And that dog is not having a good day. He's struggling, man. He is way, that is way down. I love that picture right there. Right? I love that. But way down. Right? That's what it feels like. That's what a lot of this feels like. I was looking through these images, and a lot of them look just like this. But there was one image that came up with way down that I thought was pretty interesting. Parker, go to the next one. Then you just feel like you're drowning. Grounded in what? Look at what Jesus says. The anxieties of life. That the anxieties of life will just get in your heart and weigh you down. What are we talking about? The anxieties of life. Am I going to pass that test? Am I going to get into that school? Oh my gosh, I've got so many appointments this week. And am I going to graduate? Am I going to get the job? Why haven't they texted me back? Are they mad at me? And on and on and on. What happens is that the broken things in this world can get into our hearts and weigh us down. Anybody feel that way this morning? Anybody feel a little bit of that already? All right. First Sunday of 2024. Here to build you up this morning, right? Y'all feel this? Just weigh down. That life puts more and more on you, and you don't think you can carry it anymore, and you feel like you're grounded. It's too heavy. And when that happens, that leads straight into number two, the second thing that we see this morning is that the temptation, when this is you, go to the next slide, Parker, the temptation will be to lose heart. That when the anxieties of life weigh you down and you feel like you're drowning and you've got all this stuff on your back, the temptation in that moment will be to lose heart. John Eldridge is an author, and he says that there are three levels to our hearts. First level, go to the next slide. The first level is what he calls the shallows. The shallows is where a lot of us spend most of our time. The shallows are just distractions, phone, Netflix, weather, sports, things like that. The shallows are what a lot of us do in the modern times. And listen, I'm a novelist. I'm just saying that a lot of us spend the majority of our time, it's honestly possible to spend your entire life in the shallows, where you're only talking about surface issues. How are you doing? I'm good. How's the weather? What looks rainy? What looks snowy? What looks hot? What looks warm? Did you see this that drop on Netflix? And did you watch the game yesterday? What did you think about the game? And on and on and on. The first level, where the majority of us spend most of our time, is the shallows. And then the second layer of the heart is what he calls the midlands. And the midlands are the anxieties. It's the things that we worry about. The midlands are worries about our kids, and worries about our spouses, and worry about retirement, careers, school, that doctor's appointment, results from that doctor's appointment. Here's this. A good way to think about the midlands is the midlands are things that keep you up. And then after the midlands is the bottom layer that you call that layer. And at the depths of our heart is the inner being. There we find our fears, our motivations. He has this quote about the depths. He says this, the depths are characterized and ruled by eternal things like faith, hope, love, and joy, to name a few. This is the level that we're talking about. This is the level that we're focused on. Because if at this level, well, listen, what can happen if we're not careful? Is the midlands, the things that keep us up at night, can make their way into the depths. And when that happens, the hardness of life can weigh our hearts down to the point that disillusionment sets in. Do you know what disillusionment is? Here's a better question. Would you know it if it had your heart? Here's some symptoms of it. Again, John Elder on the screen. The symptoms of disillusionment. The symptoms include a sort of dullness of heart, a poverty of spirit, a barrenness of soul, disappointment so understandable given the circumstances, collapses into disbelief, and neither hope nor joy comes. And here's the deal, to take a note, you cannot discover, disillusionment can lead to belief. Disillusionment can lead to losing heart. So at this level, what happens is we just stop trusting God. We would never tell somebody if that's not Christian. But in our hearts, we stop trusting his promises for ourselves. When this happens, we show up to church, but we don't bring our hearts. When this happens, we're not careful, we can just become a shell of a person. Let's just stop right here, because it feels heavy in the room. They ask you, is this me today? Have you brought this into 2024? Listen, look at me right now. I love you. That's why we're doing this series. And I love you enough to tell you, if you have blocked this in 2024, your resolution is not going to come. Now, there is a way out. We're going there. But I'm just telling you that your resolution is not going to get you out of this period. Your 6-week resolution to become a new you is not going to get you. There's a way out. But I'm just telling you, man, you need something better than that resolution. You need strength to stand. This is exactly why, by the way, Proverbs 4:23 says, on the screen, above all else, guard it. For everything flows from you. Think about that. Above everything else that you're going to do in 2024, guard your heart. How much are you going to put in your retirement fund this year? Above that, guard your heart. Were you going on vacation with someone? Above that, you better guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. And that leads us right into the last thing that we need to see this year, is that there is another way. You don't have to give in to the bitterness and the cynicism and everything that life is just putting on you. It's weighing you down. You're drowning. You don't have to get into that. Just let that take over your heart and just become a shell of a person. Showing up at church every week, man, in your heart, you haven't brought that to the Lord in like years. Now listen to me. There is another way. Okay? Let's look at Luke 21 again. I think it's going to be on the screen. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. What's that mean? It means the day of Jesus is coming back, and oh man, he's come back. But your heart's not looking for it, because man, your heart can't. He says, man, you better be careful about that. So let's keep reading. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Here it is. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And so Jesus says, listen, be careful that everything we're talking about, as we're setting the table for this first part of our series, be careful that you don't lose heart. Be careful that you don't give up and throw in the towel. Be careful that the anxieties of life don't weigh you down. There is a way out. Be always on watch. Pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen. And look what's underlined. That you may be able to, what's the next word? You tell me. Stand. That's it, man. That's it. Pray that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. What's that mean? Here's what that means, and here's the other way. The other way is not losing heart. That's it. The other way is building a heart that can stand. The other way that we're talking about is having tears in your eyes because of the brokenness of life, but somehow there's still hope in your heart. And here's the deal. Y'all, listen. The goal of this series is not to learn about more willpower. The goal of this series is not to make better resolutions. The goal of this series is to build resilient faith. And here's the deal. I'm going to tell you this. Week one of this series. Building resilient faith is not going to happen without some spirit-driven sweat. I coined that phrase. When it came to me around the sermon, I copyrighted that phrase. Spirit-driven sweat. It's a new workout thing I'm putting out 2025. Right? But I'm not kidding. It is going to take some spirit-empowered work to build this in your life. God, give me resilient faith. Look at it. Man, I'm in on prayer. That ain't good. I love you. But that's what I'm going to do. Mark, I prayed that God wouldn't let me give up. And I did. That ain't what it is. So here's the deal. We're going to get real practical in this series. We're going to do all kinds of stuff in this series. But all I want to do today is I just want to give us one idea to be able to dismiss. Here's the idea. If you can't remember anything that you said this morning, here's the thing to remember. And it's simply this. I can't control my circumstances, but I can control the condition of I cannot control my circumstances, but I can control the condition of my heart. Listen, I am not responsible for what they do. I am not responsible for what they're posting online. I am not responsible for what happens in another country, in another part of the world. I can't control the phone call that might come at 2 a.m. and turn my world upside down. But look at me. I can't control my heart. I can't control the conditions of my heart. I can bring my fears into the presence of God and try to deal with them there. I can be honest about my disappointments. I can cultivate a heart that still chooses to trust God even though I have wounded, even though I have been hurt. I don't have to let what's happening around me and in the world destroy what God is doing in me. Look at me. I do not have to. Hello? I do not have to lose. The older I become, the longer I follow Jesus, does not mean that you're heavenly. I just give into the bitterness and the jaded cynicism that life tries to put on. No, I can actually follow Jesus for decades and grow in childlike. Hello? Not because I'm going to control my circumstances. It would be shocking to us if we knew how little we're in control. Amen? Didn't COVID show you that? Right? I remember all the church leaders that were talking to me. Mark, listen, we got an awesome vision for our church. We're calling it Vision 2020. We've seen where God's taking us. 3 months in, I couldn't find any of those schools. I couldn't find them well. What happened to your 2020 perfect vision, bro? You would be stunned if you knew how little of your life you were in control. So I can't control my circumstances. But I can't control the condition. I can cultivate a heart that stands with life lost along the way. So here's the issue. I don't know if you're going on this year, but what if today, you said to God, I will say, God, week one of this series, I don't even know where I'm going to go, but I'm willing to try to cultivate this in my life. I want to try to build a heart that stands. Listen, this is why Luke 21, Jesus does not say, you will stand if you suck it up and try. No, what does it say? Right. What's that mean? It means that we are going to link up with the divine power of God, and we are going to cultivate something inside of our lives with our church that we in life is enemy. We can say. Amen? It doesn't mean that we're dressing up what happened. It doesn't mean we're trying to ignore it. It doesn't mean we're putting on a smile or faking it to be like, no, it means that we're going to get kids. And so right now, I'm going to build something wrong. That make sense? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to lead us in a time of response like we typically do, but I'm going to lead us in a time of response with three movements. That doesn't mean that you necessarily have to move physically. You can if you want to, but I'm going to lead us three things in this time of response. And it's not, you don't have to freak out, you don't have to get tense, what are we going to do? No, I promise. Just lean in to this moment. So we're just going to move into a time of response. So go ahead and put your stuff away and that sort of thing. Clear your laps. Don't think about what you're doing for lunch. It's still going to be there. It's going to take long. Well, let's just move into a time of response. So would you pray with me? And listen, there. This altar is open. You need to come up front. You want to pray with somebody that's going to be praying for you. But Father, we just come to you right now, the first Sunday of the year. And God, we confess we need more than a resolution. Thank God for resolutions. We're not knocking them. God, help us to accomplish all the goals we've got this year. But God, we need more than a resolution. That some of us brought into 2024 wounds from decades, not even 2023, but like 5-year-old, 16-year-old wounds that happened to us when we were teenagers, and we had to help a single person. That some of us brought into this year disappointment with other people. And a lot of us probably this year disappointed with you. And here you are, first Sunday of the year, and all you're doing is you are just inviting us to deal with something in our lives. And God, I think that we don't. And God, I'm not preaching this sermon because I want it. God, I'm preaching this sermon because I want it. Nothing wrong. We don't know for it. They can stand. And so I said there's three movements in this time of response. Here's the first one. Will you take a moment right now and pray for yourself and tell God, God, I'll get this kind of heart. If God has spoken to you, teenagers, if God has spoken to you, moms, dads, grandparents, if God has spoken to you today, you just feel like this is connecting at a deep level for some reason. Would you say to him right now, pray for yourself? That's the first move.
God, I want that kind of heart.
Maybe you need to say to God, God, I do not want to lose heart. That's you just say to him. Just right here in this first movement, we then get out with every eye closed. Is there anybody in the room that would just have the honesty, and this is the same place, have the honesty to say, Mark, I feel like I'm disillusioned with his already seen. And I feel like I'm already about to lose him. That's you, just put your hand up this morning. Anybody in the room? There's a hand right there. Anybody else? God bless you for that. Thank you for that honesty. Anyone else? Can I just take and put your hands down? Everybody is here praying for yourself. Listen, listen. Jesus is the way out. And Jesus Christ has left heaven, lived, died, rose again. He is right now at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus is interceding for you. What's that mean? It means that he hasn't given up on you. It means he's not cynical about you. It means he's praying for you right now. God, can you imagine the Son of God, Jesus, talking to God the Father? And he says, God, I'm praying for that person. I pray to some church. I'm praying, God, for that person. Don't let him give up to them. Jesus is praying for you. God, give them a heart that believes again. God, give them a heart that hopes again. God, soften their heart that they wouldn't get into bitterness like everybody else or cynicism. Can you imagine this morning Jesus Christ is praying for you? So that must mean that if Jesus Christ is praying for you, and then you're in a place where you feel like, man, I feel disillusioned. I feel like I've lost heart. When you go to Jesus, you're not going to a God that says, no, forget it. I'm out. I'm done with you. Your heart's too hard. Jesus is already working in your life. Just the fact that you might even raise your hand or say, oh God, I need you to wake up my heart again. Man, that's the Holy Spirit already at work. So Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the way back. Disillusionment, that hardness of heart, giving up if that's where you feel like you are. You don't have to live there anymore. You can say to God, God, I want my heart back. And just say that for yourself in the first movement. When you say that to him, God, I want my heart back. I want to believe again. I want to trust again. God, I want that childlike faith. So just that first movement is praying for yourself. Here's the second movement. Would you pray for your family, your earthly, physical family? Mom, dad, grandparents, cousins, husband, wife, kids, best friends, whatever it is, whatever your family might look like. I don't know the dynamics of that. But would you pray for your family? Pray for them. Just pray for your husband. Just pray for your wife. Man, what a moment right now. If there's lots of people in your family, just take a minute and pray for them. I pray God will today they will gain a heart. A heart that believes and trusts and repents and turns. Take this moment and just pray for your family. Pray that my family is saved. Grandkids are saved. Grandkids just love you. Men and women of God, just pray that. Tell you what, we'll just pray for it. Your great, 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 great. Oh, is that his generation down the line? God, I pray for future generations. May I even get to know and see. But I'm praying that my whole line of people, many will be the same. The men and women of God, people that love you. Take that moment out there. Pray that for your family. Hey God, I want to take a minute in this movement, and pray for families that have taken hard hits the past few years. That God, you would restore the hearts of those families. Can't fix what happened. Can't go back. God, pray that this morning, and they may not even come to you. Watch online. I have no idea what's happening. Gotta pray for that family that's lost. It's about to happen. Here's the last movement that's done before. You pray for our church. If it helps you, open up your eyes and look around and make some faces. Pray leaders in our church stand. I pray the people that come every single week stand. I pray for the kids back in Southern Kids stand. Man, I pray for those kids grow up to be men and women of God. God, to change the world. They see revival coming in ways we couldn't even imagine. I pray that our church saints. Father, I think that we just come to you right now in this moment, and we're not asking you for something that you're not willing to give. Jesus, we told us to pray that we would stay. That's what we're doing. We're just going to ride along with you. Get right in line with where you are, where you're talking about. We're saying, Jesus, will you help us to stay in our hearts? God, we can't control our circumstances. We can control the conditions of our hearts. So God, I pray that today you would help us to have some spirit-driven sweat and empowered movement that begins to cultivate the resilience. Father, as we move into a time of receiving our offering, God, I pray that what's given you will help people to meet Jesus and their families. God, I pray that everybody that gets here, everybody that gets online, God, that you would take what's given you and you would do something with it that we cannot even do. Father, we love you. We say almost every week. But God, we thank you that we love you because you love us first. God, you are in this with us, waiting. And Jesus, you died. So Jesus, as we begin this series, pray it's not a series. I pray that something grows in our church. That the enemy, the ups and downs of life, could not stop. We ask all of this in the strong and beautiful name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. Hey, listen, man, I would love to know how we can pray for you. I would love to know what God's doing in your life. I'd love to know how you're responding to what we just got talked about. Maybe what God's, you know, just inspiring, giving you a dream of this morning, what that kind of heart would look like for you. On the back of the seat in front of you is a connection card. I challenge you to go ahead and grab that card and fill it out as the offering baskets go around and drop that card in there for us. Hey, I tell you what, first Sunday of the year, a great thing to do that's helpful on our end is maybe last year, 2023, so your contact info check. You got your email address, physical address, phone number, whatever. Put that on a connection card so we can know how to get in touch with you the next one. And that'll just help a lot of things on our end. Let us know that if you've been asked to help us receive the offers, you guys can go ahead and get in place, fill out those cards, make any preparations that you need to give. Get here. You can give online. And man, I just want to thank you guys for giving. Hey, we've already prayed for the offering. You guys go ahead. Joey, is Cassandra not coming with you? She's not. She's away from the back. She's going to wait from the back. There she just stood up to wait. Hey, Dana and I were talking to Joey and Sandra this morning. Joey and Sandra are going to dismiss us, not just today, but for the next couple of weeks, because Night to Shine is coming up, and they have led this event in our community before, so they know a lot about this event. So I want you to give Joey all of your attention. He's about to share some really important information with you, and then he's going to dismiss us.
Cassandra loves you all. She just, you all make her nervous. It's me, you know. How many of you have been to Night to Shine? Three. I know you've heard of it from this series, but how many, raise your hand if you know what it is. Do you really? Thank you. So, probably around, I would say around 20 years ago, in Lexington, Kentucky, Pastor Southland John Lee was inspired by a verse. I'm going to read to you guys. Verse Luke 14, verse 12. Jesus says to his disciples, give them one to the other. Do not invite your friends, your brothers, or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. you do, they may invite you back. And so it will be, I think. But when you do a banquet, invite the